You know, one of the things that makes the English language sometimes difficult for people to learn is that a lot of our words have multiple meanings. An example is the word attractive. Attractive has one definition, which means to be appealing to the eyes and the mind in beauty and character. Now, a visual illustration of that definition of attractive in my world is my wife, Donna. There's another definition of the word attractive, and it means the ability to draw or to pull. For example, we say that a picnic attracts ants. I have a couple of magnets here, and we know that magnets are things that attract. It's that second definition of attractive on this Mother's Day that I want to introduce you to a 50-year-old woman named Brenda Allison. She, in a huge way, fulfills definition of attractive number two, the ability to pull or to draw. She is magnetic. She is a magnetic mom. I don't mean she has a magnetic personality. She is a human magnet. She can put quarters and keys and safety pins on her head and it will stick there for over 45 minutes. She can walk through a room and it will pop light bulbs. She can walk through a parking lot and it sets off car alarms. Now, medical science, they know that we all have an electromagnetic field. And the leading expert in that is a woman by the name of Kathy Jiminal, who is in the Beamer Health Center in Surrey, England. And they have studied Brenda for a long time. And they don't know why we all have this electromagnetic field in us. God created us that way. But hers is heightened to such a degree that she's like a walking refrigerator door. I mean, she is a human magnet that can set off car alarms. She'll interfere with your TV, all those sort of things. You got to admit, it would be pretty awesome if she was part of your family. Mom, I dropped my car keys in the front yard. And she could just kind of roll around and say, oh, I got them for you, you know. Well, ladies, on this Mother's Day, we want to talk about you being attractive. Now, there's nothing wrong with definition number one. There's nothing wrong with a lady wanting to care for themselves and be appealing in beauty and character and those sort of things. But that's not our topic today. We're talking about definition number two, which is magnet. It's the ability to draw or the ability to pull. Ladies, on this Mother's Day, let me ask you, are you magnetic? Do you have the ability to attract, to draw, to pull? Now, I'm not talking about can you stick a quarter on your head or can you set off a car alarm. I'm talking about, as a believer, are you magnetic to where your life attracts and draws people to Jesus Christ? Are you magnetic to the point that your walk with the Lord and you look like Him, you love like Him, you want to live like Him and speak like Him, that your children in your own home, your family members, your spouse, others, that whenever they're in your presence, there's this kind of and none of us are perfect, my goodness, but there's this magnetic pull that is attracting people to Christ in you. You see, when that happens, it not only changes your family, it changes the world around you. You know, Mother's Day is such an emotional day. We have this day set aside, and we should, to honor and thank moms and wives. But I also realize for some of you, this is a very sad day. Your mother's not here. Some of you, it's a very sad day because your mother was abusive. And your mom bailed on you. And when you think of that, it just still brings up so much hurt in your heart. I'm thankful that Jesus can absolutely heal your soul. Some of you, that Mother's Day is such a difficult day because you're here on this Mother's Day. You're grieving a child that's not here. Or on this Mother's Day, you want to be a mom, but you can't. You would love to be married, but you're not. It's not God's plan yet. And some of you, my goodness, how I respect the hardworking single mothers in this nation. The latest census from the 2011 census for the United States says we have 9.9 million single moms with at least one child under the age of 18. And we have many single mothers here at First Baptist Arnold. And if you're a single mom, on behalf of your pastor and our church family, we love you and we're thankful for you. Whatever season of life you're in, ladies, God has a word of grace and a word for you today, wherever you fall and all that we've just talked about. And guys, just because it's Mother's Day, we can't check out, because this is God's word. And God's word has something to say to us, because every single believer is to be a magnet for the Messiah. Every one of us is to be attractive. The way we treat people, the way we love, the way we live, the things we say is all for the purpose of attracting and drawing people, not to us and not to a building, but to Christ, to the person of Christ. That's why we're looking at Matthew chapter 8. It's our Mother's Day text today, as we honor moms, ladies, as we want to focus and honor you. You're going to find this story in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If God puts one thing in his word, it's huge. If he puts it in three times, he really wants us to get something from it. This is a very simple Mother's Day story, but a very beautiful Mother's Day story. It takes place in the city called Capernaum, and there's the Apostle Peter. It takes place inside of his house. His mother-in-law is with him in his home, and she's sick. Matter of fact, if you look at Luke's telling of this story, remember, Luke was a physician. He says that she has a high fever. That means she just doesn't have a cold or the sniffles or something. Whatever is causing her fever, she is very, very ill. But Jesus does what only Jesus can do. He does a great miracle. He touches her life. She's healed instantly. She's up, strong, serving the Lord, serving her family, feeling better, feeling great, life changed. Let's look at verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 8, because this physical miracle is going to teach a great spiritual truth on Mother's Day for magnetic moms. Verse 14 says this: "Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, the fever left her, she arose and served him." Keep your Bible right there. Everything's coming from these two verses. Physical miracle teaches spiritual truth. We're going to see, as we look at three lessons for living on this Magnetic Moms Mother's Day, and again, it's for all believers. It's God's word, has something to say to every one of us. We're going to see that God wants to use you, and God wants to use me, especially moms. He wants to use you in your home to attract and to draw people to himself, like Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Let's look at some life-challenging, life-changing truths from God's word. Lesson for living number one, they're in your worship guide, will be on the screen. Number one, magnetic moms are touched by the Savior. This is the first step. Magnetic moms are touched by the Savior. Before we can attract others to Jesus, we've got to realize Jesus wants to attract us to himself. Again, Jesus came into Peter's house. He saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. Verse 15, he touched her. He touched her hand, and what was wrong was made right. The fever left her. She arose and served him. Peter's mother-in-law is very sick. She's down. I mean, she's out. She's very, very ill. Jesus enters the home. He sees. He stops. He cares. He knows her condition. And he touches her. Didn't have to do it. It's grace. It's compassion and love. He touches her. The fever leaves her. And she is up, changed, healthy, and serving him. Again, physical miracle teaching spiritual truth. Those two verses are a great picture of salvation. Because God, don't get me wrong, God cares deeply about our outside physical needs. He cares. Whatever your outside physical needs are today, God loves you and he cares. He knows. He touched her life concerning her physical illness. But more important than our outside physical needs, and they're huge, more important is always the inside spiritual need. And this teaches us a great lesson, a great picture of lostness. Because Jesus, like the mother-in-law, he sees and knows our condition. And we know it too. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And moms and all of us, we're all sinners separated from our God. Sins that we do willfully. We're sinners by nature, sinners in practice, sinners by choice. We have all disobeyed God in our life. We're not perfect. We know that. But like in the story, Jesus in his grace, he comes to us. He cares, and his compassion, he does what we can't do for ourselves, because the Bible says, and while we were sinners, guess what? He loves us so much, God demonstrated his love, and while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus went to the cross, the sinless Jesus, and took your sins and my sins upon his back, died, was buried, and rose on the third day. And now, if you'll let Jesus not touch your hand, like in verse 15, but touch your heart, he can change your life forever. If in faith you'll let Jesus touch your heart this morning, your sins can be forgiven. You can be forever made right with Him instantly. You can have a life that has a new purpose, a new reason to get up. You can have life that has a new power. You can face the hurdles and the difficulties of life, not in your own power, but in His power. Life has a new pleasure. There's just a joy in our hearts, regardless of the outside stuff that hurts. The joy in our hearts is real. And you can know peace and forgiveness and a new creature in Christ Jesus if you'll just give Jesus your heart in salvation. This mother was touched by Jesus and He changed her life. And it's a picture of spiritually how He wants to change every heart, every life here. Has He done that in your life? You see, this very day, God has an attraction for you. He has an attraction for you. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you just believe in Him, if we would just believe in Him, wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. And this day, the Holy Spirit of God and His love for you, He is drawing you. We'll never attract others till we first respond to the fact that Jesus is attracting us to Himself. Matter of fact, His drawing power, His magnet of mercy, if you will, is the only way we can even come to Him. Jesus said in John 6:44 that no one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, in. And I will raise him up on the last day. See, today the Lord is tugging at your heart. He loves you. He's drawing you not to religion. He's not trying to pull you into a religion. He's not trying to pull you into a lifestyle. Religion is something that we use to charge us up, to try to be better people. A relationship with Jesus, it does more than charge us up. It changes us. It doesn't make us better people. It makes us brand new people. And He's pulling you and drawing you today, not to religion, not to some sort of humanistic, moralistic lifestyle. He wants to forgive your sins and change your life forever. And He died on a cross to make that happen. You know what I love about this story? Jesus touches her. You know, when we're around someone with a fever and we care for them, either we say, don't touch him because you'll get sick yourself. Or if you do touch him, you wash your hands, use the Germex, all that sort of stuff. Because we know the fever that they have could spread to us. You know, Jesus didn't have that worry. He touched her, but He didn't get sick. I love what Dr. John Constable said. He said, His touch does not defile the healer, but He heals the defiled. Spiritually, sin defiled, and the healer touches us, and our sins did not defile Him, but He heals those who are defiled. We will never attract the children we love, ladies, never attract those around us. We'll never pull them into the right relationship with God until we realize that the whole point of what this building, what this place is about for the glory of God is this. God wants you. He's drawing you, pulling you to Himself. Have you let Him do that? It is a love, ladies, that you've dreamed about. It is a love that no person, regardless how great a husband you have or if you want to be married someday, no human can give you the perfect eternal love like God is drawing you to today because He wants to touch your heart. You know, speaking of that on this Mother's Day, this past week, my daughter Lauren, who is 17, she is part of a St. Louis Metro Christian drama troupe called Lifelight. And at Missouri Baptist University at the theater there, they did Thursday, Friday, and twice Saturday, four performances of Cinderella. And my daughter was the queen in Cinderella. What was interesting is, as Donna and I were helping there as parents and serving and doing some other things, they had a pre-princess party. And all these little girls, man, you couldn't count them. All these little girls came with crowns and gowns. And they were showing up for the little princess party to have their picture taken with Cinderella. It was a riot. One little girl came up to her, to the Cinderella character, and said, "My name's Caitlin. I met you at Disney. Do you remember me?" You know? And another little girl, bless her heart, little bitty girl, she says, "I got on my Cinderella underwear." So, anyway. And my wife and my daughter are going, "Oh." And I'm going, "Huh?" You see, because every little girl wants to be a princess and wants to meet their Prince Charming. And what I've discovered is that those little girls become big girls. And a lot of big girls still want to be that princess and meet their Prince Charming. You know how I know that? Because we've had something happen in our world these past couple weeks that is beyond just unbelievable how it swept the world. It's this thing called, I'm a guy, I don't want to get lightheaded here. It's called the royal wedding. Okay? The royal wedding. My favorite joke by a comedian to Prince William was that Captain Crunch wanted his uniform back. You know Captain Crunch on the... Come on, that's good, man. You got to admit, that's good. Anyway, I did not watch it, but I did peek one time and saw him in the carriage, the princess and the prince waving at the crowd. It did burn my retinas, but I'm okay today. I mean, this is a real prince who married a girl who became a princess. And man, here's what I want to say seriously to our ladies today. And this applies to us guys. Don't feel awkward, but it applies to us too. Ladies, if Jesus is your Savior, you've already found your prince. And you're part of a love story and a royal wedding that's beyond words. You know why I know that? Because the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says believers are called a royal priesthood. In Revelation 19:7, it says the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. And I saw, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and I saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, in Revelation 22:2 coming down from heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. You see, throughout the Bible, Jesus talks about the relationship of him and his church. Remember, the church is people. It's not a building. It's called out ones as a bride and a groom. And he's the Prince of Peace. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, in his intimate, ultimate love, is a royal wedding that's out of this world. And if you'll turn to him and believe in him, even this day, in this broken world, you can have the most blessed wedding beyond words. You can be a part of that royal wedding. He wants to touch your... The greatest thing, if you're a mom here today, the single, not even close second, greatest thing in your life, if you love your kids, and I know you do, is give your heart to Christ. You know, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal that said the price of the royal wedding due to the national holiday in Britain was going to cost Britain about $1 billion. $1 billion wedding. That's expensive. Nothing compared to the bride price that our Lord paid for us. Matter of fact, Dee Brinson said, whenever you have faith in his blood is when he slips a ring on your finger. That's beyond belief. On this Mother's Day, to be a magnetic mom, the first thing that happened in this mother's life in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus touched her and changed her. Let him touch your life. Let him change your life, change your hopes, change your dreams. Experience a relationship with God, not a religion about him, but a relationship with him because he deeply, deeply loves you. And I'll be humming Cinderella songs for the next month. Number two, magnetic moms, arise and serve. The second thing we see is magnetic moms. What does a lady look like who attracts people, draws people into Christ? Well, they arise and serve. It says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand. The fever left her. Look at the end of verse 15. She arose and served them. She is no longer sick. Now she is serving the one who healed her. When she was sick, she couldn't serve. Those of us who know Jesus as our Savior, we're no longer sick. We're saved in our sins. And now we have the joy of serving the one who saved us. When we were in our sins, we never would serve him. But you see, for believers, the joyful, natural response to the cross and to the salvation of Christ is service. He saves, we serve. That's Christianity. We serve him. And the Bible says she arose and served them. She was serving him, I'm convinced, because she wants to bring him glory. Can you imagine people saying, man, I thought you were sick. She said, oh, he changed my life. To bring him glory means this. We want the activity and attitude of our life to show the world how precious that guy is to us. She served him in the strength he gave her. You know, if you and I have a fever and we get better, we may be healthy and go back to work, but it usually takes a couple days till you're back at 100%. And she had a serious illness, not here. When Jesus changes your life, he changes your life. And she's not like still weak. She's not still getting over it. She's not going to be a little bit better in 48 hours. She is instantly up serving, not in her strength, but in his strength. And mom, I know serving kids and grandma, serving your grandkids and serving in all those areas, lady, even serving children here in the church and men as we do that. The good news is we don't have to serve him in our strength. Like we see here, we arrive and serve him in his strength that he gives us through the Holy Spirit. Notice she's serving everybody, because at the end of verse 15, it says them. You know who's them? Everyone in her house. She's serving Jesus, who's in her house. She's serving her family, who's in her house. She's serving other followers of Christ, who's in her house. And she's serving her friends who may come into her house. She's using her house as a place of service. What she's simply doing, she's obeying the command and following the example of Jesus and being a servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That means all. That's Matthew 20, 27 and 28. See, it's a struggle in the church in our country sometimes, if we're just real honest with this. For many people, the Christian life, here's the Christian life. It's something that goes on around us, outside of us, that we observe. We watch other people do the Christian life and go to church. The Christian life is a selfless, sacrificial, bold service that happens in us and through us to other people. And that's what she's doing. She's serving here. And I want to really focus in on this magnetic mom and her attraction of what she's doing in drawing people to Christ. I want you to notice she is not serving him on the mission field. Nothing wrong with that. And we're missionaries and our homes are mission fields. Wherever we're at's a mission field. But you know what I mean? She's not on a mission journey going to another location. She's not even serving Jesus inside the church building. In this text, she is serving Jesus inside the home. And I want to focus on being a magnetic mom. All those other places are important, but let's focus, because this text, the service is taking place in the house. Jesus is in the house and she is serving him in the home. See, here's a fact of the Christian life. It is easier to serve Jesus out on the mission field because we have contact with people we're only going to see once in our life. And it's even easier to serve Jesus inside the church because the people here that we love and care for, we only see them a couple hours a week. The hardest place to be a servant and to serve Jesus is inside of our house. Those are the people who know us best. Those are the people who know who we really are. That's where life takes place. That's the place where our children do not do what we say, but they become who we are, what they see modeled in front of them. All that takes place in the home. And we've got to be servants and moms to be that servant inside the walls of your home. To serve Jesus there, to serve your children there, to serve your family, to serve your friends and your neighbors. That's what she is doing here, and it's wonderful and it's glorious. Jesus is in the house. Jesus touched her life in the house. She's serving Jesus in the house, and now she's attracting people inside the walls of her home to him. A Christian home is not a home with Christians in it. A Christian home is a home with Christ in it. And the mom is not the center of the home here. Jesus is the center of the home. And before Jesus is ever in the home, Jesus has to be in the hearts of the people who's in the home. And moms, this day, make a commitment by his grace. I mean, it's a new day, a fresh start. None of us are perfect, but in his grace, wherever season of life you're at today, make a commitment saying, Lord, help me to go deeper with you, to serve you in a greater way. Say, Lord, may my family members and others see and experience you in me because I serve you by serving them. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. Keep growing in the Lord. That's where church comes in. Be a part of ministries that can grow your life. I'll give you one thing real quickly. We've got a marriage conference coming up on May 13th. This is a great opportunity to strengthen your home, to strengthen your life. And real quickly, sometimes folks who've been married, Don and I have been married 26 years, 20 years or more, say, you know, I don't know if I really need this. I've got to say this today. The number one people you care about in your life are your kids and your grandkids. And you care about their marriages. And if they ever have a problem in their marriage, they're not coming to me. Guess the first person they're going to come to is you. Sometimes parents coming to a conference like this, and we all can learn something. This can give you tools to minister to the most precious things in your life. your kids and grandkids and their marriages. So those things we can do grow. And, you know, moms, daily surrender. Daily hear just as I am without one plea and have an altar call in your house. And worship and word and prayer for your family. Do all those things. Lauren Sani had a very strong statement, said, you know that you have a servant's attitude when you react like a servant, when you're treated like a servant. May we be servants. This is the type of home we all want, to arise and serve. This is the sort of home America needs. It's the sort of home we desire, and it's the sort of home the devil hates. And it is a struggle. We're real people in the real world. We're not pretending. I know your life, my life. We live on this same planet. It's a struggle. We want this sort of a home, to rise and serve. It's a daily battle. It's a war. It's a struggle. And the major struggle we have, I'm convinced, is distractions. We allow distractions to get in the way of the distractions of life hinder our attraction to the Lord. Say that again. The distractions of life hinder our attraction to the Lord, and we don't arise and serve. You know, distractions and driving do not go along together. Dale Iceman is here, sent me this cartoon. It says, honk if you love Jesus, text while driving if you want a meeting. Okay? That's true. In World Magazine, this is unbelievable. This is an unbelievable statistic to me. Between 2005 and 2008, and I guarantee it's gotten larger now, traffic fatalities that they associate with distracted driving, texting, phone call, radio, eating fries, whatever, is up 42%. 42% higher fatality rate of people being distracted when they drive. As your pastor, don't text when you drive, okay? I don't want to do your funeral in that instance. Anyway, distractions on the road of life bring disasters, and they're dangerous. And that's what happens in our homes. It's the distraction. We get distracted with our busy calendars and just consumed with the cares of the world. We get going all directions at once. Yeah, and worldliness and materialism and selfishness. And we live in a very anti-Jesus culture. It's just a fact. And all those things from all those angles, if we don't guard our hearts, we won't arise and serve. And the distractions of the world can cause the attraction of our Lord to be watered down and hindered. But this is a new day. And in His strength and His power, not in our strength, but in His power, arise and serve. Arise and serve Him. Number three. Magnetic moms, Jesus makes a home sweet home. Now, it says, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, the fever left her, and she arose and served them. See, a magnetic mom, Jesus makes a home sweet home because he attracts those inside the walls to himself. This is what's really sweet and beautiful. He also attracts those outside the walls of our house to himself. You've got to hear the rest of the story. She's sick. Jesus touches her life. She's changed, serving in his strength, serving all those inside the walls of her house, and it spilled over to the streets. If you look in Matthew chapter 8 at the next two verses, verses 16 and 17, it says, when evening had come, they brought to him many still at her house, or Simon Peter's house where she's at, brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that they might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. This same story, Matthew 8, 14 and 15, is found in Mark chapter 1. And in Mark chapter 1, same story, Peter's mother-in-law sick, Jesus heals her, she's serving now. The same home, that same place, later that same day, verse 32 and 33 of Mark 1 says this, at evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon possessed. And listen to verse 33, the whole city gathered together at the door. People are walking down the street and Jesus is in the house and service is taking place in the house. And the Holy Spirit goes, and they're just like, you know, they're just attracted to what's going on in the home. And it splashes outside the walls, and people, her neighbors and friends and others outside the walls. There's an attraction, a magnetism to Christ because Jesus is in the home. He's being served in the home. And folks, God has saved us to, and moms, to be a blessing inside the home. But he wants to spread that blessing outside of our homes. Your neighbors and my neighbors are all people Jesus loved 7 people Jesus died for. And he calls us to move from time to time. But where you're at right now is not an accident. You are an embedded missionary strategically placed in your neighborhood among your neighbors. And I realize that many people will keep us at an arm's length, at a distance. You try to do nice, you try to do things, and maybe they keep you away. But we need to pray, God, would you use me that I'm so in love with you, just being a real person in the real world, that there would be a fascination with you in my life that would attract people to you, not to me. And Lord, we pray by the Holy Spirit's power that there would be a magnetism to you in our home, because in our home, you're in our hearts, you're in our home, we're serving you in our home, and we want to serve our neighbors. We need to pray, God, have my radar on. How can I intentionally be a blessing to my neighbors? How can I pray for them? Is there something that's going to come up in their life where I can do an act of kindness in Jesus' name to open doors, to share the good news, to invite, to be told, although getting involved in their lives? It was Dr. Jerry Rankin who said this: we do good deeds, and good deeds leads to goodwill, and goodwill opens the door for the good news. So we do a good deed to our neighbors intentionally to create goodwill with them for the express purpose, for the glory of God, of sharing the good news. There's a new ad company out of Orange County, California called Adzuki. And they've come up with a new way of wanting to do billboard advertising. You know, if you drive down a road and you see a billboard advertise a company or a product. Well, their spin on billboard advertising is they want to turn your home into a billboard. Here's an example. How would you like to have that next door? They want to come to your home and they'll paint it in bright colors, or they'll wrap it, and they will use your home as a billboard to advertise a company or a product to traffic that drives by. They would probably want to paint mine pink and advertise Pepto-Bismol or something for me. But anyway, now if you're the homeowner, here's the deal. They will pay 3 months up to a year of your mortgage if you let them do it, depending on the deal you work with them. They already have 10,000 applicants who are wanting to make their home into a billboard to get their mortgage paid. And there are also probably 10,000 city governments saying, we need a new ordinance because we can't have that. Anyway, you know what's incredible? This home in Matthew chapter 8 became a billboard for Jesus. They were advertising and attracting people to Jesus. The whole neighborhood showed up at her front door. Can you imagine the joy and the excitement on the face? Jesus touched her life, changed her life, and now she's watching other people's lives get changed on her front porch. You know, Jesus can change other people's lives in our homes, in our yards. And you want to really improve the neighborhood, what we just read? Have the demon-possessed dude get changed. That'll shake up your neighborhood a little bit. Mother's Day, a magnetic mom. He touches our hearts and our lives. We serve him everywhere, every place, but we serve him in our homes. And that will splash out outside the walls to make a home sweet home in our neighborhood as we attract other people to Christ. Moms, it's incredible, ladies, the impact you have on others. My daughter Lauren, I mentioned earlier, her birthday was Thursday. She turned 17. Let me tell you a story. When she was in kindergarten, when Lauren was in kindergarten, I got a call from my wife, Donna. Donna was taught school for 13 years, taught public schools. And Donna called me. She was working that day. I was at the church. I lived in a parsonage right next to the church I pastored down in southwest Missouri. And Donna called me and said, I need you to help me with something. I said, sure. And what happened to Lauren and her best friend, Sarah Thomas, her best friend in kindergarten, they had the worst thing that could happen to a kindergartner. Early in the morning, going to the lunchroom, they both spilled milk all over their clothes. And by the end of the day, on a warm day, you smell like sour milk. So Donna says, I need you to get some clothes for both of them, because they're the same size, and take it to them so they can change their clothes. And I said, consider it done. Now, the old Kenny would have grabbed anything. But Kenny's married to Donna. And Donna picks up the two little girls at kindergarten. And whatever won't work. And I knew that. So I went into Lauren's, I was in the parsonage next door. I went into Lauren's bedroom and I decided to go with ladybugs and flower theme. So I got first for Lauren, I got a pair of ladybug shorts, with a ladybug kind of matching shirt, socks with the little ladybug that you, if you don't flip them down, you can't see the ladybug. You got to flip them down. And then she had her hair like a little bow on the side, kind of a red whatever bow that would match. That was one. Now, number two, for Sarah, I went with the flower theme of the shorts, the matching shirt, again, the socks. And Sarah's hair was longer with ponytails, and I found the ribbon that would match. So outfit number one, ladybug, socks, shorts, shirts, bow. Outfit number two, flower, socks, short shirt, ribbon for the thing. I stepped back, looked at him, and I crossed my arms and went, yeah, that looks good. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks. Who are you and who has taken Kenny hostage? I want to tell you, that's not me. This lady has changed me. And I want you to know I love her, and she's changed me more than just having the ability to pick out chicky, cutesy outfits for little girls. She has Jesus in her heart, and she brings Jesus into our home. And I can't tell you the service this lady does that allows me to be a pastor and a dad and a husband. And attraction number one definition, she fits that with me because she's real easy on the eyes, okay? But it's that attraction number two. My wife has a magnetism of attracting people to Christ. Our neighbors have a new baby, and she's going over there with the new little baby outfit. Another neighbor who had a husband die at a young age, she's over talking with her. It's Mother's Day. And God wants to do this in our lives, regardless of where you're at in your life, whatever season of life. And I'm thankful because of this lady right here, and I'm giving Jesus the glory. I live in a home sweet home. Thank you, moms. First Baptist loves you, but most of all, Jesus loves you. Let's pray.